That's an amazing reading that we read today. There's just so much in it. And what I have taken from it is what the Torah spoke of right in the very beginning. I love Jude part two, and I'd like to have spoken on that. But I've taken it from the beginning of our parasha reading, from Bamidbar Numbers chapter 16, and I've titled it "Run, Intercessor, Run," because I believe in this day and age we all need intercessors. We all need to be intercessors, and we all need an intercessor for ourselves. Each person needs someone praying for them in this day and age. Each marriage needs someone praying for the marriage in this day and age. Each congregation needs someone praying for the congregation. Because you've no idea the amount of hindrances, of things that come against you, against marriages, against congregations, especially at this time, as we don't toe the line to the government orders and the government restrictions and the government mandates. So we all need to be an intercessor, and we all need to have an intercessor. So that's the main aim of my message today. So can we go to, let us pray first. Abba Father, I just thank you and praise you for the word that you've given me for this day. I pray that it will be received by those who hear it, that they will understand where I am coming from, and that they will know the person they are to use as an intercessor for them and how they can intercede for others. Abba, we just give this time to you, this word to you, and ask that your kingdom purpose be outworked in Yeshua's name. Amen. So I'm starting at Bamidbar Numbers chapter 16, verse 41. It says, "In the very next day, the whole community of the people of Israel complained against Moshe and Aharon." This is all after the rebellion of Korach. "And said, 'You have killed Yehovah's people.' However, as the community was assembling against Moshe and Aharon, they looked in the direction of the tent of meeting and saw the cloud cover it and the glory of Yehovah appear. Moshe and Aharon came to the front of the tent of meeting, and Yehovah said to Moshe, 'Get away from this assembly. I will destroy them at once.' But they fell on their faces. And Moshe said to Aharon, 'Take your fire pan and put fire from the altar in it, lay incense on it, and hurry with it to the assembly to make atonement for them. Because anger has gone out from Yehovah, and the plague has already begun.' Aharon took it, as Moshe had said, and ran into the middle of the assembly. There the plague had already begun among the people, but he added the incense and made atonement for the people. He stood between the dead and the living, and the plague was stopped. Those dying from the plague numbered 14,700, beside those who died from the Korach incident. Aharon returned to Moshe at the entrance to the tent of meeting, and the plague was stopped." And also Yeshayahu 59:16 says, "He saw that there was no one and was amazed that no one interceded." So as I said, I want to speak on intercession. The children of Israel needed someone to intercede for them to stop the plague at the time of Korach's rebellion. I want you to think, who do you have interceding for you? As we just read in Yeshayahu, it says he was amazed that no one interceded. Have you got someone interceding for you? Because we all need someone to intercede on our behalf. Yeshua said in Matthew 18, verses 19 to 20, "To repeat, I tell you, that if two of you here on earth agree with about anything people ask, it will be for them from my Father in heaven. For whoever, wherever two or three are assembled in my name, I am there with them. And in 1 Timothy 2, 1 and 5, it says, first of all then, I counsel that petitions, prayers, intercessions and thanksgivings be made for all human beings, including kings and all in positions of prominence, so that we may lead quiet and peaceful lives, being godly or righteous and upright in everything. This is what Yehovah our deliverer regards as good. This is what meets his approval. He wants all humanity to be delivered and come to the full knowledge of the truth. For Yehovah is one, and there is but one mediator between Yehovah and humanity, Yeshua the Messiah, himself human. In Shaul's letter to Timothy, he urged or strongly encouraged his young friend to intercede for everyone. The emphasis was prayer for others. Shaul was asking Timothy to not pray for himself, but for those around him. And this is the force behind the words intercession. Shaul encouraged Timothy to pray for those in authority, and to include he included the reasons in verse 2b. He said, so that we may lead quiet and peaceful lives, being righteous and upright in everything. Shaul knew that the gospel could be more easily spread in a peaceful environment. In particular, in an environment where governing officials were not hostile towards the believers and their practices. And this is why we have included them in our Shabbat prayers every Shabbat. We live in a hostile government nation at the moment. We live in a nation where, although we are the Great South Land of the Ruach HaKodesh, or the Great South Land of the Holy Spirit, I don't believe any of our leaders belong in that vein or know about it, and they certainly don't operate in that way. I believe we are currently living in a hostile environment where socialism is being pushed and religion is being squashed. Shaul believed that intercession was part of the equation that could bring about such an atmosphere of peace. No doubt, Shaul also intended for Timothy to pray for the conversion of those in authority, and we can pray for that as well. He believed Yah wanted all humanity to be delivered and come to the full knowledge of the truth, according to verse 4. He was certainly familiar with what the writer of Mishlei Proverbs said concerning righteous leadership in Mishlei 29, verse 2, where it says, when the righteous flourish, the people rejoice, but when the wicked are in power, the people groan. And I think that is where we're at the moment, especially with food prices, fuel prices, electricity prices, etc., etc., all increasing. And that's not the only thing that's going to increase, because once the taxes go on to big business and then those big businesses have to have it flow down, our insurances will go up and this will go up and that will go up. But when you're on a set income, on an age pension or a disability pension or a very limited income, your wage isn't going to go up, and you're going to have to try and manage the best you can. And as for telling people to turn off electricity to save fire, to save the consumption of the energy, we're blessed to live in Queensland, because I would hate to be in Victoria or even in Canberra at the moment with the electricity not being able to be turned on and it's minus 5 degrees. You know, there are blessings in amongst it all. You can find the blessings. I like to look for blessings, and that's one of them to me. The Apostle Shaul believed that through intercession, people could be changed. The term itself, however, implies that intercession does not bring about change. That's not the purpose of intercession. Intercession is a process that links those who need to be changed and the one who can bring about the change. That is, we intercede for people on Yehovah's behalf. It is Yehovah that brings about the change. We can't do it. This term intercession literally means to come upon, to meet with, to come between. So you come between the person needing the intercession and Yehovah. When used in the context of prayer, it is here that it takes on that special meaning. To intercede is to stand between Yehovah and someone else. It is to represent another person's concerns to Yehovah. And an intercessor is literally a go-between that we read in Yeshayahu. It was really amazing that through the week we had a lot of things happening within our family, within things that were happening. And I was waking up at night with a heartbeat of 85, 95, etc. through the night when I should be resting at a 65 to 70 heartbeat. And I knew it was because of stress. I knew what was causing the stress. And I just had to let it go and let it be with Yah. And because I pray every morning and every night before I go to sleep, the next morning I woke up. I usually wake up singing Yah's songs. But on Thursday morning, I woke up saying the serenity prayer. And Yah's telling me to, you know, to have the serenity within myself. You know, have the courage to accept the things I cannot change. I can't change what's happening. And the wisdom to know the difference. He just drops things in so that when I wake up in the morning, I know I can cope with what's going to happen that day. You know, and so I love him in the fact that he speaks to me so much, and I either wake up singing Torah songs or I wake up with him giving me instructions on how to go about that day. In our reading today from Bamidbar Numbers, chapter 16, verse 41 to 50, it's very important to understand the setting of this text. And the children of Israel desperately needed an intercessor. We previously before in Numbers 16:1, we read about Korach's rebellion. So I'm going to go there. Can we go to Korach's rebellion? Now Korach, the son of Hitzah, the son of Kahat, the son of Levi, along with Datan and Aviram, the sons of Eliab and On, the son of Pelet, the descendants of Reuven, took men and rebelled against Moshe. Siding with them were 250 of Israel's leaders of the community. These weren't just ordinary people. They were leaders of the community, leaders of every tribe of the community. Key members of the council of reputation. They assembled themselves against Moshe and Aharon, and they said to them, "You take too much on yourselves. After all, the entire community is holy. Every one of them. And Yehovah's is among them. So why do you lift yourselves above Yehovah's assembly?" When Moshe heard this, he fell on his face. Then he said to Korach and his whole group, "In the morning, Yehovah will show who are his and who is the holy person he will allow to approach him. Yes, he will bring whomever he chooses near to himself." So this scripture actually tells us that Korach and many famous men from the congregation rose up against Moshe over the position of spiritual authority. All the congregation, plus 250 men, were wannabe preachers, leaders, holy people, men who didn't have any anointing, but they wanted the prestige. All of these stood before Moshe, Aaron, and Yehovah. Well, because Yehovah cannot stand rebellion, the scriptures go on to say the next morning the earth opened up and swallowed up Korach's family and his belongings and those that stood with him. Now that was an amazing feat in itself, that Yehovah just allowed the earth to open up and they all went in and closed over again. Yehovah was trying to show the people who was in charge. Obviously, that show of power wasn't enough, because the very next day was when the people tell Moshe and Aharon that they are the murderers of Yehovah's people. And at the door of the tabernacle, at the door of the tabernacle. By this time, Yehovah had had enough. So his presence came by a cloud. And the cloud began to appear over the tabernacle. And Yehovah, in his fury, spoke to Moshe and said, in Bamidbar Numbers 16:45, "Get away from these people. I've had enough. I'm going to consume all of them." In other words, I'm going to save you and Aharon. The rest I'm going to wipe out. This leads me to Romans 3:23. Because Romans 3:23 says, "Since all have sinned and come short of earning Yehovah's praise." And in Yeshayahu 64 and verse 6, it says, "All of us are like someone unclean. All of our righteous deeds like menstrual rags. We wither, all of us, like leaves, and our misdeeds blow us away like the wind." And Yechezkel in chapter 18, verses 20 to 21 says, "The person who sins is the one that will die. A son is not to bear his father's guilt with him, nor is the father to bear his son's guilt with him. But the righteousness of the righteous will be his own, and the wickedness of the wicked will be his own. However, if the wicked person repents of all the sins he committed, keeps my laws and does what is lawful and right, then he will certainly live. He will not die." Praise Yah for repentance. Praise Yah that we, each and every one of us, has repented and can be standing or sitting here today. The scriptures tell us that we have all sinned and come short of Yah's glory. There is none righteous. Our righteous deeds are like filthy rags to him. We all too have been rebellious at times. And you say, "But I'm not rebellious. I've never been rebellious." Well, I can tell you that the first word the child usually says and learns to say is no. That is rebellion. So we have all been rebellious. We've all made mistakes. Maybe we've been a bit too prideful. And that sometimes might have frustrated Yehovah's grace. And we all of us have deserved to die. Some of us don't deserve mercy whatsoever. But thank Yah that there was an intercessor one day praying for you that brought you into the kingdom. Aharon was the intercessor in this case. Moshe, sensing that they were fixing to be struck dead by Yehovah, sent Aharon out with specific instructions. He basically said to Aharon, "You are the high priest. You are going to have to intercede for these people. Something is going to have to be done in order to satisfy Yehovah." Moshe gave Aharon specific instructions, and then he told him to go quickly. In Bamidbar Numbers 16:46, it says, "Moshe said to Aharon, 'Take your fire pan, put fire on the altar in it, and lay incense on it, and hurry with it to the assembly to make atonement for them, because anger has gone out from Yehovah and the plague has already begun.'" So he has to take this fire pan, this vessel upon which the incense was burned in the sanctuary, which was appointed to be set every morning on the altar of incense when the high priest went in to trim the lamps, and again when he lighted them in the evening, according to Shemot chapter 30, verses 7 and 8. It says there that Aharon will burn fragrant incense as it is a pleasing aroma every morning. He is to burn it when he prepares the lamps. Aharon is also to burn it when he lights the lamps at dusk. This is a regular burning of incense before Yehovah through all your generations. So it was also used annually on Yom Kippur, or the Day of Atonement, when the high priest entered the Holy of Holies. He was bearing the fire pan or censer. He threw the coals on it. Then he added the incense. Now this incense brings a pleasant aroma. In Vayikra, Leviticus chapter 16, verses 12 to 13, it says, he is to take a censer full of burning coals from the altar before Yehovah, and with his hands full of ground fragrant incense, bring it inside the curtain or inside into the Holy of Holies. He is to put the incense on the fire before Yehovah, so that the cloud from the incense will cover the ark cover, which is over the testimony, in order that he did not die. So it was the Kohen Gadol, Aharon, would take a burning coal from the altar, put it in a censer or a fire pan, basically a vessel containing the fire, and it was an instrument that was full of fire, burning fire. So there are two things that you need to make intercession. You need a vessel and you need fire. Are you the vessel of fire and passion to stand in the gap for someone to be their intercessor? Where is your fire? In Tehillim or Psalms 104 verse 4, it says, bless Yehovah my soul, Yehovah my Elohim, you are very great. You are clothed with glory and majesty. And I've put that at the second time, but it's a different one. It's in 14, the next one. You make winds your messengers, fiery flames. You make winds your messengers and fiery flames your servants. An intercessor can make all hell tremble. It depends on how much they want to pray. The scripture says that the fire came from the altar, from the Holy of Holies. Aaron had to go to the altar to get the fire. Aharon had the knowledge as to where he had to go when he needed the fire. One cannot be an intercessor without an experience at the altar. It doesn't work without the Ruach HaKodesh, or the Holy Spirit. It's like a cook without a kitchen, a teacher without a whiteboard or chalk, a policeman without a badge, a jockey without a horse, a sailor without a ship, a farmer without a plough, a pilot without a plane, a plumber without a wrench, or a mechanic with no tools, and a race car driver with no track. Without a trip to the altar, there will be no fire. We need the fire of the Ruach HaKodesh within us. The place where Aharon had to go to get the fire was called the Brazen Altar. It was a place where the animals were sacrificed and burnt as offerings unto Yehovah. A true intercessor will sacrifice himself or herself for others. He or she will pray when no one else will. They will sacrifice and go out of their way to get the fire. In other words, they will spend time with Yehovah as to how to pray, what to pray. They will sacrifice and get out of their way, as I said, to get that fire because they are hungry for Yah. His word, his purpose for their lives and the lives of those whom they are interceding. But they needed first to go to the altar of Yah to receive the anointing and the burning desire of the Ruach HaKodesh for them to know for whom and what to pray. Now, the last but most important thing that Aaron had to do was not forget the incense. The incense is an aromatic compound that gives forth its perfume in burning. In most general use in Scripture, it is that perfume that was burned before the Hebrew altar of incense in the tabernacle. Among both the Hebrews and Egyptians, we find no trace, other trace of incense than in its priestly use. But in Persian sculptures, we see it burned before kings. The incense employed in the service of the tabernacle was called the incense of the aromas. And the ingredients for it are given in Shemot, Exodus chapter 30, verses 34 and 35. And it says, Yehovah said to Moshe, take aromatic plant substances, balsam resin, sweet onca root, bitter galbanum gum, these spices along with frankincense, all in equal quantities, and make incense blended and perfumed as would an expert perfume maker, salted, pure and holy. So these consisted of stakte, not the juice squeezed from the holy fragrant myrrh tree, but probably a species of gum storax resembling myrrh, onica, which is the shell of the perfume moloch, blatta byzantina, found in the Mediterranean Ocean and Red Seas and yielding a musky odour when burned, galbanum, which is a gum that is obtained by making incisions in the bark of a shrub that's grown in Syria, Arabia and Abyssinia, and pure frankincense, which is a pale yellow semi-transparent pungent resin, which when burned has a beautiful fragrance. It's grown in Arabia and Judea. I got that from the New Ungers Bible Dictionary, published by the Moody Press. So the type of incense is the prayer. Without the incense, there would only be smoke. Without a prayer life to back up your anointing in the Ruach HaKodesh, we are just smoke. But incense is the aroma that makes the difference. In 2 Corinthians 2 and verse 15, it says, for to Yehovah we are the aroma of the Messiah, both among those being saved and among those being lost. So Moshe told Aharon to move quickly. In other words, run, intercessor, run. Because people were dying. So Aharon forgot about how he would look and he took off running. He ran to intercede. Timing was everything. The need was immediate. To Aharon, there was no time to delay. We all need an intercessor. So are we ready to run? Aharon started running to the people, and he stood between the living and the dead. The difference between life and death is intercession. The difference between your situation being dead or alive is how fast you run towards Yehovah. What stands between a living and a dead messianic community is intercessory prayer. What stands between a dead and living marriage is an intercessor. Between hope and hopelessness is an intercessor. So run, intercessor, run. We need you. I'm going to ask you one more time. For you, whom are you interceding? Make a time in your day to intercede on behalf of someone in the community. You don't need to ask them what their prayer needs are. Just rely on the Ruach HaKodesh to show you what and how to pray for them. It doesn't necessarily need to be a long prayer. Sometimes the shorter and more succinct and to the point prayers are more powerful and more efficacious. I will leave that up to you, but please pray for one another. or if they would like you, or even ask if they would like you to be their intercessor. We all need one. Every marriage needs one. This community needs intercessors, as you know, you never know what is going on behind the scenes. Do we have any questions? No? Okay, well, we'll move on to the remembrance service.